part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. I'm gonna do it part. I'm gonna do it part-time. Part-timefanboy.com.
Good day, sir.
Good day to you.
Yes, it's turning out to be a very good day. Well, okay, so before we start, I guess, this is Part-Time Fanboy, and I am Christian Horn, and I am here with my friend Ian Scheller, who is the only other part-time fanboy that watches Walking Dead on a regular basis. I don't know why. Because it's actually turning into a really good show. I think so.
Yeah, it just did.
Yeah. You literally probably just finished watching. This is like season 5, right?
5. Yeah, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I really can't.
I never read horror books to begin with. The fact that I've read 2 compendiums of it. I finally quit the comic, but the fact that now I've watched 5 seasons of it, I gotta admit though, the last couple seasons, I mostly do a lot of cartoon sketching during the show, and
yeah.
I hang out with the wife and watch it, and yeah. But I watched this one.
Yeah, boy, I bet you did watch it, that opening scene, right?
Oh man.
Yeah. So I mean, the season finale was pretty good too. I mean, I think last season for me is actually when it really started mm-hmm. to like really kick in, especially that particular episode with Carol and the kids.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that to me is, I think, when the show finally like matured and like was like, okay, we're finally kind of getting to where this show should have been from the beginning. Because, I mean, didn't it seem like to you, like in the first couple of seasons, it was kind of like waffling around, trying to find its own place?
I think that's definitely also indicative of the actual production they were having. You know,
yeah.
So it's like when creator guy or
Frank Darabont,
right? When creator guy's kind of getting the shaft from the place that just signed him up to make this amazing new series, and you get what did we get out of that guy? 6 episodes or a season? Or
you got the first season.
Okay, so which is great, but it definitely had that kind of Frank Darabont pacing on it.
Yeah,
but I think that's what makes it harder, because it's usually with these shows, I think by the second or third season, you're like, okay, I really feel this is hitting its stride. But
yeah,
it's almost as if the early production issues, the fact they got through so much, I agree. I say the end of that last season and then this first episode. And of course, they are probably dumping more of the production to the beginning and the ending episodes.
Yeah.
But there was some stuff in this what was like, I mean, when you're lighting zombies, dead zombies on fire and just leaving them on the ground, you've got some extra budget there.
Yeah. Oh, I think they definitely got maybe they got a little bit of like leftover Mad Men money, because there was definitely, do you remember that? Like, I mean, I don't know if you watch Mad Men, but
I just started on Netflix.
I'm did you really?
Yeah. I've watched about 8 episodes of the first season. I love the Office stuff because it's very indicative of our, I would imagine some of our work experience.
A little bit without the alcohol and the sex. Yeah, sure.
Right. I usually don't have sex with random girls in my cube.
Yeah, but, I know, right? Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that Donald Draper can tell off clients is very refreshing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, no, but do you remember there was that point, I don't know if you remember, like these rumors broke out that Mad Men wasn't going to return. Like, he was holding out because they wanted to cut the budget and all this stuff. And then, like, he ended up getting, you know, the creator of Mad Men, whose name I cannot remember right now, ended up getting what
Wiener?
He,
is it Wiener?
Yeah,
Wiener?
Yeah. Weiner? Like Rob Weiner, Rob Wiener,
yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he basically ended up getting like what he wanted, you know.
Sure.
And I know that there were some creators on other FX show, excuse me, on other TV shows on that network. Is Sons of Anarchy on that, or that's FX, I think, right?
Yes, I think I would say yes.
Yeah, I think there were other people on the AMC network who were complaining that, like, were indicating that Mad Men was getting all this money that, you know, other shows could get. So maybe Walking Dead is getting a little bit of that now that Mad Men's like all wrapped up and just waiting, you know, the final six episodes or seven or whatever are waiting to be broadcast. Maybe Walking Dead got some of that leftover cash because it definitely showed in this episode for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It's interesting. I mean, there's so much I've heard. The AMC sort of, their name is interesting. I mean, I do know a few actors and production people there, and it's always been a very kind of, you know, the shows are incredibly successful. So
yeah,
it's hard to say, oh, they're awful, but there is a side of it where it's like, okay, how many showrunners did Walking Dead have to go through to get to this point?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and, but again, they got through all that. They are still going. I mean, you got this, you have a spin-off talk show of the Walking
yeah,
Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Talking
it's
Dead,
like,
yeah.
And they're rumored, I guess, to do more. But yeah, it was a pretty good episode, man. I will be watching next week.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that this was like really outstanding as far as like zombie stuff went. And just as far as not only the intensity, but just where they went with everything. You
sure.
know what I mean? Just like, whoa. I mean, just that opening scene where, you know, spoilers, obviously, for anyone who's listening, you know, the trough where they line them up against the trough.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, my God, they're not, you know, because basically you do see, you almost see that sort of tracking shot when they're led into the room and they're they're like cutting up a body and they don't really show any of that. But they do show like that they're. You get the idea, like
you
that
do.
They're cutting up people and they're going to eat them. And then, you know, right. apparently, I guess, you know, it was revealed today on the internet that the first guy that they take out, the blonde guy, plays the Penguin on Gotham. So,
thank goodness for that.
they took him out for, but yeah, like once they start going down the line, there was definitely a big part of me was like, how are they going to get out of this? Like,
right,
and that's perfect.
Right.
Like, that's almost like to me, a really good thriller or a really good action, sort of like action thriller movie, like Die Hard is very much where you put the protagonist in a situation and you're just like, how in the hell is this guy going to get out of it? And then you present a really plausible way for
yeah.
them to have escaped. And they did that. You know what I mean?
They certainly did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I would have to say that for me, The Walking Dead, like season 3, I think was when they kind of like started picking up their stride, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the announcement came that they were going to switch showrunners again.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And, you know, it was like, what? But whoever this new guy is, he definitely helped ratchet up the intensity last season.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just the episode with the two little girls, like, that's just, I think that's like an episode of TV, like, that I'll never forget, like, as long as I live. Like, there's some shows like Battlestar Galactica or Buffy or Angel that have had episodes where I'm like, wow, that is like a monumental, like, episode of television. And I really felt like that last year, that episode with the two girls, you know, and Carol, that was just like, that was it. That was when they kind of stepped into the big boy pen, you know?
Well, anytime you off a child, you know, on that kind, I mean, it's cable, right? But
yeah, but it's basic cable, you know?
It is basic. It is a basic cable. But, and well, I think too, in general, just what they've done with the Carol character, I almost feel like she's doubling for the Andrea character,
yeah,
from the comics
was
so kind of lovable in a way, and you empathized with her. This actress has really become, I mean, you know, my wife's watching Heidi with me, and she's like, I love that. Just as Carol's blowing shit up, Heidi's like, I love this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Melissa McBride, I guess, you know, is the actress's name. And did you know that, I guess, I was a little ticked when I found out this, that she was actually a casting director, I guess, in Atlanta. And I don't know if she was working on the production or working with the production, but they decided to, like, offer her a role. And I guess in the beginning, because remember in the beginning of the show, she was kind of like that mousy woman that got, like, abused by her husband. And it was just, like, really, like, okay, this is kind of like, you could tell they were kind of trying to feel out the characters.
Right.
This is sort of the stereotypical, like, you know, boorish guy who, like, beats up on his wife. And, like, she's really, I think out of all the characters, she's really made such an amazing arc, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, completely. I mean, she was pretty much Rambo tonight.
Yeah.
I mean,
but she was smart.
She's basically a survivor of domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And which, you know, even tackling domestic abuse is not an easy thing. I mean, I know they took care of it a while ago in that story, but she's kind of, I don't know, man. I think she might be the best female on that show.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Acting wise, character wise, and
the best written female too.
And that's odd, because you would figure, okay, if they could write one, maybe they could write more in. But that was always a pain point for me with the show. Was like, oh, I can't, you know, please with these other Michonne. I love, of course, you have to, but she's pretty much a samurai.
Yeah. She doesn't have the depth of the not that the character in the comics has a depth, but there's some sort of complexity to Michonne that in the comic that I feel is lacking a bit in the they started to crack through that, you know, but I really think that that there's a lot that could be done with Michonne that they haven't really touched on yet.
Did you think that the camera and the directing, I just thought it was really clicking. I mean, I thought the shots were great. I thought the cinematography was great.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed ratcheted up.
Yeah.
For sure.
They definitely did. And, you know, I mean, I just thought the writing was spot on, and just, you know, there's so many moments, you know, not just even with, you know, Carol, but, you know, you've got like, oh my gosh, I'm blanking out on the character's name. The guy that she's traveling with.
Tyrese.
Tyrese, yeah. Tyrese. Like,
oh, Tyrese.
That sequence in especially if you've got a kid or ever had a baby, like that is just terrifying. And there's just like a huge part of me that was watching that is like, dude, don't turn your back on the guy.
Okay.
Keep the baby at your side like the whole time, because it's not like they tied him up, like he could move around, you know.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I said to Heidi, and I have two cats, I don't have a child yet, but I said, you know what, instinctually he would never have put the baby between him and harm.
I agree with you on that, but I also feel that there may have been a part of him, you know, and a part of anyone that would be like, nobody's going to hurt the baby. You know what I mean? I think that a lot of people, like in our society, like in our tame society, and maybe with even everything that they've seen, I think that they very much are like, you know, like little kids are like, it's hands off. Like you don't mess with kids, you know? And that was just really interesting with the guy that he, you know, had held hostage, you know, that guy would go to that level. You know, so it shows you that these Terminus guys, you know, they're basically saying, you know, because they tried to make them a little more sympathetic, like in this episode, but it basically really reveals like how dark they really are, despite anything that they say about like, oh, we're just here to survive, or we're just here to like, you know, you know, we're just trying to survive. You would do the same thing. No, there's definitely something off with these people, right?
I'd say so.
Yeah.
You know, in the book, again, I always compare to the book, and I kind of, I actually
well,
like
it's a whole
they,
different thing, right?
Yeah, I like what they did with the Terminus thing, because they built a home for these guys,
yeah,
and a culture for these guys. Whereas in the book, do you remember the group of guys from last season that were just walking around causing trouble?
Yeah, yeah.
Those guys reminded me of the Terminus guys from the book.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And in the book, it was like, I forget what the arc was called, but it was like the Hunted or something, or they were like, they would hunt people, like, and basically capture them, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
they were much more of like, oh, here's a group of campers, and by the way, let's put you on the Barbie.
Yeah, exactly. Like they would sidle up to you, and then they would take you hostage. Yeah, I mean, the whole Terminus thing ended up being like really great, because I know that last season, you know, it's like, okay, what's this going to be? And I know that, like, from the beginning of seeing the signs at Terminus, it was very much like, don't go there. Don't go there. Just the name alone, Terminus. Terminus means, I mean, terminate. It's like the
right.
end, right? It's
right.
like, I wouldn't yeah. go there. I mean, or if you did go there, you would at least stake it out for like a week or like
right.
2 weeks before you went there, you know?
Right. But yeah, they could have easily just said, okay, let's get a view of the place here and just see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't do that.
I have to say, it was really, from the opening shots, like, it's really brilliant, because you see them, because I mean, what is it, the last thing that Rick says, like, they're going to learn that we are not the people to mess with, or that,
yeah.
you know, they shouldn't have, you know, fucked with us or anything like that. And basically,
yeah.
like, you start from the opening shot, they're like taking their belts and making them like into Wolverine claws and blah, blah, blah. And,
yeah, I love
you know,
that.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. Like, they're arming themselves with whatever they got. And they're like waiting at the door. And then it's like, what? Like, the ceiling opens up. Like, I just thought that was a brilliant piece of writing. Like, where the ceiling, and it's like, oh, tear gas. It's like, oh, man, you know?
Yeah,
from the beginning, you're just feeling hopeless, you know?
That beginning was so well done.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it really, really was. And you're like, yeah, we're going to bust open these doors and take them out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, everybody's like feeling it. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, yeah. It's just, it really, I mean, it's really a show that's grown. And I don't even know, like, how many more seasons they're going to go. Like, are they going to go
eight? I have a question. Speaking of that, at
yeah.
the end of the show, they flashed back to the lady getting thrown into the cattle car. Was that in the past?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because in the beginning it said like then, and then it said like now. Yeah, because remember, they said that they were a group of survivors, very much like, you know, Rick and, you know, his posse, and that they had been raped and victimized and blah, blah, blah. And they figured out a way to escape. So it's really interesting, because in a way they were trying to make you sympathize with these people and be like,
see.
Oh, they've been transformed by what they were exposed to, which I guess, you know,
yeah.
does happen. You know, I mean, if you are treated like cattle or, you know, victimized,
right.
you're going to want to victimize somebody else and never let yourself be put in that position. So in a way they've kind of like made you sort of understand them, but at the same time, like, I don't think that this episode fell into the trap of like, hey, we're gonna make you like really sympathize with them, you know,
right.
we're gonna make you empathetic, because I think that that's what way too much, you know, modern fiction has gotten into with villains, which is like,
right.
we're gonna make these guys sympathetic. They were beat up when they were children, their parents ignored them, whatever, don't you feel bad for them? And then when they become the villain, it's like, well, I feel really bad for the villain. You know, why is the hero beating up on this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I almost felt like they could have just cut that scene, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they could have, but in a way, I think it kind of shows a little bit of the cyclical nature of,
right.
like, violence, right? And look at, like, Rick is the perfect example of that, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because he is basically, he's become his best friend. You know
right.
what I'm saying? He's
right.
become, you know, Shane, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's basically like what we were all waiting for, you know, for him to kind of like become the dude that is going to like, you know, kick ass and take names and, you know, finally, you know, take charge of the group. And I feel that, you know, as of last season, he kind of finally started doing that. He kind of snapped out of like the silly little like back and forth, like morality play that he kept playing. Because look in this episode at the right. end, when they get out, he's very much like,
oh, forget it.
Forget it. They're all dead. Like, I'm going back. And everyone's like, are you crazy?
Let's go. Everyone is like, even the guy with the orange hair, who the military guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm done. We're not going. We're not doing that again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But it's really funny because there's a part of me that, you know, I mean, you know, I've never been in the military. I don't handle guns. But, you know, I'm very much a pacifist at heart. You know, right. but there's a part of me that was like, yeah, go get those fuckers. Get them. You know, I was like, sure. you know, because, I mean, think about it. They're pretty much like animals. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so do you feel like, I mean, you must feel like that the show has grown on you, because I know you've always kind of been like, I don't really watch it. I watch it because my wife watches it.
I went through my sketches the other night when my parents were visiting, and I was showing them this app, Paper, on uh-huh. You know, on iPad, and I'm going through. I'm like, this is what I do when I watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I got a lot of work done because of this show.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, it has. I mean, it's only gotten better. And like I said, I think shows like this, you know, they usually hit their stride. But just because the way things are with the show, it's almost like all those weird production problems have only helped it.
Yeah.
And it's like a lot of shows aren't immune to those kind of problems. Sometimes it'll destroy the show completely and it'll end. But there's such an overwhelming fan frenzy for this kind of thing. I think they're going to get – I wouldn't be surprised if they got three more seasons out of this thing.
Yeah, I'd heard that they'd gotten extended for several more. I can't remember the number. But, dude, do you know that this episode beat out Sunday Night Football?
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding you, man. Like, can you imagine a time where – Just imagine a time where a zombie show. Well, first of all,
a zombie show.
Even on TV, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. And even on basic cable, you know, that would have been like maybe like, what was it? Tales from the Crypt, like, right? Like on HBO, something like that. That was the most that you could hope for, like, as far as like intensity and gore and stuff is concerned. And then the fact that something like this would just be such a monster hit. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's funny you mention that, because when Carol was hiding in the woods with Tyrese
today,
I'm like, this is amazing. These actors and this script and the whole tone of the whole thing, this is serious. These are people trying to survive, and it's a zombie show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is actually amazing.
Yeah.
To hear that it beat Sunday. Where did you read that?
Oh, it was all over the internet. It was like on Facebook and like, you know, you could just Google it. Like, it beat Sunday Night Football. So like,
I mean, that is I don't know what to say about that. In fact, and it's interesting because like we said, you know, the show's dealt with domestic abuse.
Yeah.
It's dealt with so many issues. It does have a lot of violence in it. I mean, tonight I gotta say, that's
a lot of violence.
The Tyrese scene, when they all came back out of the woods and were like, oh, there's Tyrese outside the cabin, I almost felt like he was like, hi, everybody. Then under his breath, he's like, there's a dead guy in there, guys.
Yeah, I know, right? But he didn't kill him. He didn't kill him, did he?
I think he killed him.
You think he killed him?
I think he said he killed him. He said, don't go in there. I think he punched him in the face. Like,
no, he said because the guy was like, saying like, yeah, this is the way or whatever, because he had the knife or whatever,
right?
And he's gonna stab him, and the guy's like, yeah, this is the way. And then Tyrese threw the knife, and then he started punching him in the face, and he's like, I'm not gonna, you know, I think.
Yeah, but he did punch, as he was saying that, he punched them like at least a dozen times.
Yeah, but I don't think the guy's dead.
I think the guy's dead.
You think he's dead?
I think he's,
completely dead. I really? Swear to God.
I don't think he's dead. I think they, who knows, maybe they're setting that guy up to come back. But think about, like, I mean, that's God, amazing. Robert Kirkman must be just, like, living on, like, cloud nine. Think about that. Like, just believe, how yeah, huge I does have. Something have to be? Because, look, like, I don't know if you listen to a podcast called, or it's on NPR called The Business. It's about, you know, the Hollywood, you know, business, Hollywood. Oh. You know, they interview people, like, every other week. But they're always talking about how much, you know, networks are paying for sports, you know, to put sports on their network. What's right. that?
Well, a lot, because isn't I think lately the live sports are do so well because it's yeah. live. People don't well, they do DVR, but that's the thing, right? They could sell more advertising. People want to – it's an event.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. The fact that it's – pretty much live and people want to see it like when it happens. Now think about that. The thing that most TV experts are saying right. is the biggest buy and or the like most guaranteed bang for your buck as far as like advertising is concerned, and The Walking Dead beat it. Not freaking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not right. Arrow, not The Flash, Walking Dead. Like, that's insanity.
It is. It I mean, is. I mean, it just means everyone's watching it. It hits the coasts. It hits the middle of the country.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's always the hard thing for a lot of shows is what can hit the coasts and the middle of the country. Not every show can.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, it's so – I mean, this episode was pretty violent.
Yeah.
Like, when we were talking on the phone and – you basically were like, yeah, I think we might watch it during dinner. I was like, you don't want to watch that during dinner.
I'm really glad you pointed that out. Cause that didn't, that, I once I thought of it, you know, I was like, yeah, he's probably right. I probably should eat first.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, just the trough scene alone. Was
oh,
like,
boy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so let me ask you this. Why did you, without spoiling anything, because I actually just got the latest hardcover of The Walking Dead. The
oh,
latest
okay.
collection, and I right. think you were reading trades, right?
I bought the first two compendiums.
Yeah.
Read both of those, and then I went to the trades.
Yeah.
And then I stopped. I just recently stopped.
And so, why did you stop? Like, are you just done with the comic?
I really, the last baddie or the last bad guy they were fighting in the comics, I actually
Negan, right?
Negan, yeah, I thought he was brilliant. I mean,
yeah.
And the
I
fact
mean,
that
I haven't gotten to the point where they've wrapped that up yet. Yeah.
And I stopped after I said, okay, I think they've wrapped it up here and I'll move on. And I won't say how they did that, but I thought he was so far out there. And the fact that Kirkman keeps inventing different forms of evil, in all of these people they come across, I appreciate that. But I just got, you do it. It's beginning, middle, end. It keeps happening, and I'm just like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to see who the next bad guy is. I am done right now.
Oh, so you're thinking like it's a little too repetitive? Is that it?
It got repetitive for me, and he definitely had me hooked because the writing of some of these bad guys is so good, especially Negan. I'm like. I was hooked, like I was, you know, hoping that, you know, I was hoping that like Hulk Hogan would beat Andre the Giant. You know, I felt myself marking out for this thing, like he's got me hating on this character.
Don't tell me what happens.
I won't. I'm not going to tell you. But we will talk about it when you're done.
Oh, yeah.
But I basically became self-aware of this. And once I become self-aware of that kind of a thing, to me, I'm done with it. Like with Daredevil, even though it was a lot shorter of a read with the Born Again book,
yeah.
The only thing I was aware about was like this palpable like taste of the city and this incredible incredible imagery that was just dancing in my head about Daredevil, you know. So it's kind of like I just became removed from Walking Dead because I was like, okay, I really appreciate this storytelling. I really like the artwork. I was really into it. I don't hate it by any stretch, but
I'm just like, okay, I've reached a point where I could walk away from The Walking Dead.
Do you think it sounds like you would go back to it, though? Like, maybe you just need a break.
No, I'm done.
Really?
I'll never say never, but right now I'm in, you know, I'm into the Marvel book I'm reading. That is its own version of a kind of horror story, which I'm shocked about, actually. I can't imagine it was all that bad. But I don't know if I would go back. If you have a pretty good effect on my reading habits. I mean, if you came to me and were like, you've got to get back into The Walking Dead, you know, like in a great, like an inspirational kind of Christian way. Christian, not good Christian. Yeah. You know, then I'd be like, okay, you know, I'm going to have to check it out. Cause you have a pretty high bar of what, you know, what you read and what you take in.
Some people would disagree with you, but yeah.
Okay. You know, hey, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I had, because also too, it's a money thing. You know, you know how it's like, you're like, how much money am I giving? And Kirkman's fine. I mean, I'm sure he's getting laid by six women right now.
No, he's married.
Oh, he's married?
Yeah, he's totally married. He's got like, I think two kids. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, he's having fun. You know, he's having fun, whatever he's doing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And he's like on top of the world. He must be.
Well, And the funny thing is, right, he does the other comics, too.
Oh, he doesn't. You haven't read Invincible, have you?
No, one of my friends at work just got it, and he's been cracking into it. And, I mean, God bless the guy, man. The guy nailed it.
Yeah. Well, can you believe that they're going to do a spinoff of Walking Dead?
Yeah, I mean, God bless him. I don't know what – I don't think I could watch that.
Really?
No. I don't watch that much TV, believe it or not. Although, yeah. I didn't tell you, at work on my lunch hours, I've watched all the Gothams.
Oh, what? You said you weren't going to watch that. You were like, this is my Man of Steel, Christian. I won't watch Gotham.
Here's the thing. The stuff that I watch on my work hour, like, no one should watch what I watch. But it's exactly like I predicted, though, that show. And I stopped after, I think, the second episode.
Yeah, I have not. I've watched the first two, and I probably – there's one recording tonight. But that'll mean that there's two on the DVR. And quite honestly, I don't – that show is not inspiring me to –
It has an identity crisis.
Big time.
Yeah. But back to Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I really think this whole season is going to be a treat. I do agree. I mean, their lighting, like, can you imagine in the budget meeting? It's like, all right, got some extra money here for what do you guys want to do with it? All right, let's light up some plastic zombies here.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, what did you think of the gratuitous, like, this was like a B horror movie shot. The gratuitous shot of the zombie just chomping someone's face.
Yeah.
With the blood running down it.
That's the thing, is that is what that's what you want, like, in a zombie thing. Like, remember World War Z?
I do, unfortunately.
Yeah, and the complaints that we all had when we watched that movie, which is well, there's some good ideas here, but it's a PG-13 zombie movie. And I haven't had a chance to watch the unrated one on Netflix. I really want to get a chance to watch that, because to see if it's different at all. But
Heidi's watched that, you know, several times.
Oh, really?
He loves fucking World War Z.
The unrated one?
She watched the Netflix one, several times.
Heidi's like a big zombie head, huh?
I don't know. You know, she's not afraid of horror stuff at all. I am. She's watched like Paranormal Activity.
Nice. That's so funny. Well, you know what? Have you checked out? It's so funny that you mentioned the gore thing.
Yeah.
There's another show that I started watching that a lot of people like really don't like or giving a hard time. And I actually kind of like it. And it's called Z-World. Z Nation, I think.
Really?
That's what it is. Yeah. Hold on, I'm looking it up. Z Nation. Yeah, and it's a sci-fi Zombie show. Yeah. And I started watching it. And let me tell you, it is the sort of like low budget version of like Walking Dead. So where Walking Dead is like very well written, like really like great effects, like, you know, kind of like a little self-important, you know, taking itself a little too seriously. Right. Like Z Nation is very much like grounded in the roots of like the 80s and 90s, like zombie movies, say pre 28 Days Later. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Like where they were all low budget. Like some of the acting wasn't so great. The production value wasn't always perfect, but right. you could still have fun with it. And right. and it's really funny because there's this Facebook group that I was invited to a long time ago, uh-huh. and every time an episode premieres, there's this one dude who's just bitching about the show, and he's just like, "This Z Nation sucks. There's no characters you can identify with. Blah 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 blah." And I was like, basically like, "But look, like this is what zombie movies were. I mean, right. I think." We've all really become spoiled because Hollywood discovered the zombie movie and, you know, glossed it up and put lipstick on it and, you know, bought it a nice dress and, you know, trotted it out for the public. But before that, you know, I think pre 28 Days Later, if you had any zombie movie, it was really like low B,
right.
you know, even the Romero stuff, you know, the Romero stuff that we sure. all love, that a lot of us love and think is great, like the acting in that stuff is not in some right. you know, the last two I would say is not stellar by any means. Even Night of the Living Dead, you know, some of it is pretty forced. So like right. this Z Nation thing is obviously, you know, riding the coattails of the success of Walking Dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, we have a, I mean, there's a whole cottage zombie industry happening.
Yeah, yeah, which I love. I'm not tired of it. I'm like, as long as people are coming up with like really interesting things,
right?
You know, I'm fine with it. But there's a lot of people like there's some horror fans that are just trashing this Z Nation show,
huh.
and I'm like, well, what do you want? You want like another Walking Dead? Go watch Walking Dead. This right. Z Nation is like, if you still kind of love that cheesy aspect of like B horror, you know what I mean? So I don't know that I would recommend it to you, but maybe Heidi might like it in some weird way.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, she watches everything. She sets the reporter up, you know, and. Yeah, maybe Z. What? Who airs this thing?
It's Sci-Fi. It's on Sci-Fi Network, and if you have Time Warner, I think they have all the episodes on demand. So,
oh.
yeah. No, it's just really interesting how different it is because, and also Z Nation actually has a mission. Like they're trying to do something. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, Walking Dead is like they're just trying to survive. These people, this group of survivors, is trying to accomplish something. They have like a mission, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which, who knows if it'll ever get solved, but yeah. I mean, here's the thing that really bugs me about like, not so much Walking Dead, but about like the public perception of it,
okay.
which is like, as far as I'm concerned, like Melissa McBride should have been nominated for an Emmy for that episode last season with the little girls. Like,
well, were they up against the end off of Breaking Bad?
Yeah, but she didn't even get nominated, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not saying she should have won, but she should have been nominated big time. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like there was so much depth in her performance. And what's really funny too is that in the beginning, was it of last season or the third season? It must have been last season where she was teaching the kids how to use guns.
Oh,
and knives
yeah.
and stuff.
That was pretty crazy.
But I didn't buy that at all for her character. Like, I was like, no, I don't think she's made that jump yet. Like, I don't buy
it. I didn't think she was buying it either when she was doing it because she's like, should I be teaching? Like,
yeah.
It seems like she was actually nervous about it too.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't like buy her like jumping into the hard edge thing. But
yeah.
like with this season, you know, this first episode, I was like, okay. Like, I mean, at this point, this is the character that they've made her into.
Right.
So I don't think it was a really organic transition, But at this point, like, I'm willing to go with it. Like, I'm like, okay, this is, like, really awesome, you know? And I really think that she's become, you know, probably, like, my favorite character on the show.
Yeah, I mean, she's almost... I mean, Rick is in full Rick mode. I think that actor is, like... He's like, that's Rick. I mean, yeah. he might lose his British accent for good.
Yeah.
You know, because he's so into it. But, yeah, I think she's... they're not... I mean, I thought Glenn was on his way out for a second.
Oh, I know. Did you think that Glenn was going to go the way that he did in the comic?
Well, the thing was, in the comic... Oh, do you
it
know
was
how...
It brutal.
You know
oh,
how...
Yeah.
He, all right, so he goes by baseball bat in the comic.
Yeah. And it's awful.
So this was... Oh, it is pretty damn awful.
I think that was one of the most, like... I think that was definitely a moment where I thought... Because, you know, okay, like with the comic, you know, Lori and the baby get it. And then Carl gets his, like, eye shot out or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, Michonne gets raped. And, you know, but when Glenn got it, I think I was, like, very close to being like, I think I've had enough. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. I'm like, I had to take... I definitely put the book down and was like, took a couple days off.
Yeah. I know.
Definitely did, man. That was rough. I mean, but that's what's so great about this episode. I feel like they've had their pacing issues. They've had just, you know, episodes where half was great and the other half was like, eh. This was like, this thing from back to front was solid.
Definitely.
And
definitely, big time.
I think I felt that way about one of the season shows at the end of season 4.
Yeah.
I mean, last season was a lot of run and gun type stuff, which was cool.
Yeah.
And I definitely, but this had a lot of depth to it as well. And I think we're all accustomed to the characters. You don't have to do any setting up a character. I mean, hey,
you're
bringing back this guy at the end who is like the Sidney Poitier of Walking Dead.
Which guy?
Did you see the very, very end?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that was a great episode when they aired. I think that was, what, season 2 or 3?
Yeah, but he was... See, now I'm a little confused. He's the guy who was in
the house.
The very beginning. He was in the first episode, right?
Maybe I got him. Yeah, you know what? I could be confused. So I thought he was the guy who was living alone in the town and it was basic. The whole show was him and Rick in a room.
Yeah. In a different season, but I think that was that was the same guy from the very first episode. Remember? Who was in the house, like, with his son, right?
And then, oh, yeah. So that's not the
same
guy. And
he finds him again. And he finds him again.
Right. He does find him again in the book as well, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Think,
yeah. Okay, I got him confused. Because there was another guy where he met this guy in the town. And it was just Rick and him. And they were... talking. Was that the same guy?
Yeah, I think it's the same guy.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Didn't
so
he chain up his son? His son had got turned into a zombie?
Yeah, he is the Sidney Poitier of Walking Dead.
Why do you keep saying the Sidney Poitier of Walking Dead?
Oh, because he's like he's like a tremendous actor. Like, I felt like his scenes, like, he was just giving it his all. You know, like, he's, like, really, like, Shakespearean level acting, you know?
It's not, I
don't know.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, he is very intense, and I remember after that episode, Heidi was like, that was like a play, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it kind of was, just one setting, and it was just all dialogue, and this guy really acted the heck out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool when they do stuff like that, and hey, this guy's got a job now, so that's great.
Yeah, it's great that they're bringing him back, you know? I mean, he was kind of bonkers the last time we saw him.
Yeah, absolutely bonkers. I have to ask you, so what do you think of this character, Bob, who it appears his alcoholism is cured?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, he had a really big scare, like, last season, right? Well,
yeah.
And that's what I loved. I loved that he was, like, the one trying to talk him down, like, at the trough scene, where he's like, you don't have to do this. He's like, we've got a cure, you know what I mean? And, like, oh, and talk about that. the guy who says he has the cure, right? Because spoilers, like in the comic, you know, anyone listening, you should stop listening for a couple of minutes. Like the guy in the comic who is that character, he's basically full of it, right? He never had, he didn't know anything about a cure. He was just basically like leading them on, you know, trying to give them purpose, you know? And in this one, they directly question him, and he says, you know, this
is a great monologue.
Yeah. But like, do you think he's still full of it, or do you think he's still full of it? Yeah.
Well, I think they did introduce the radio, didn't they?
What do you mean the radio? Which radio?
He had a radio that he was always listening to.
Oh, does he have that in this?
In the comic, and I thought they had introduced that, but they hadn't done the great shot in the comic is when the radio falls on the ground and the battery case opens and there's no batteries in it.
Oh, that's right. I don't think that they've done that on the TV show. He's not talking into a radio.
No, I thought when they introduced him, though, he did have one where he was, like, always fiddling with it. So he might – maybe he still has it. I'm not sure.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. No, I don't believe that they ever, like, introduced that. Like, I don't believe that on the TV show they have. Now, what about what happened with Beth towards the end of last season? Like, they haven't even come near that.
Beth.
Where she got kidnapped, the cute blonde, who they were kind of like trying to sort of set up with Daryl.
Yeah, she's gone, right?
Yeah, she's totally gone.
Oh, wow.
I kept waiting for her to show up. She got kidnapped by some crazies in a hearse, right?
Yeah, that car was wicked. I mean, honestly, that was a really memorable shot of that
car.
Yeah,
when it was like...
I mean, that was really creepy.
But don't you think that, like... Mm. I'm just dying to know, because I thought that was going to be the sort of thing that got them out of Terminus. Maybe she got kidnapped by like some people who, you know, would have been on their side, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we don't know. I mean, she's got to be still alive.
Yeah. So this actor that you were talking about, calling the Sidney Poitier of Walking Dead, Lenny James is his name.
Yeah.
Here, Morgan Jones. He was in the very first episode, I believe. Yeah.
Wow.
Days Gone By. Yep. That I was exactly right. He was in the very first episode, and then he's in another episode.
Yes.
And that's when, you know, they found him, and I think that he had his son, like, chained up. His son had turned into a zombie.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at it on the Internet Movie Database. So, yeah, I'm right. He was a dude from the very first episode. So it's good to see him back. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good to see him back. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think they really knocked it out of the park with this one, man.
Ah, man, I mean, they're definitely, if they beat Sunday, you know how hard it is to beat Sunday night football any football?
I
mean,
I know.
For example, I listen to a lot of wrestling and MMA recap shows. I don't even watch the fights anymore.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of addicted to just how productions of a certain magnitude get done, and very interested in just basic storytelling. So, you know, a lot of when WWE is running their TV shows, like, they know that when football season is on, they're just going to get clobbered.
Oh.
And that's professional wrestling. That usually does, like, really, really well. There's been nothing that's been able to knock off football.
Yeah. Usually,
and
yeah.
I mean, that's... It's just impressive. I wonder what that means, though. I wonder if there's a bunch of people sitting around saying, all right, we got to do more zombies, because that's really going to
be... Well, that's
what
I mean. Like, I mean, as far as, like, if you can beat, like, football...
Well, I got to say, though, in defense of football, that game last night, and I am a Giants fan.
Was it the Giants?
It was Giants versus Eagles, and the Eagles beat the living hell out of them.
Really?
And it was a shutout. So it is possible that by halftime they just flocked. But I gotta say, in general, it's very hard to beat football.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would say so. I would say so.
So
yeah,
that means they got a what? Like an 8? A 9?
I don't know. I would have to look that up. All I saw were the headlines.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No, but they've been doing really well. I mean, it's
pretty
crazy.
Wasn't it, though, the most watched? I thought it was the most watched show, like, last season. They had a huge, like, the most watched show on cable or something.
Dude, it's, like, been that way since almost the beginning. Like, the ratings on Walking Dead have been, like, insane. Like, insane.
I mean, what do you think this is? I mean, do you just think that because it's the first time you're getting, you know, good acting with zombies? I mean, what is the appeal of this thing?
I don't know, man. They tapped, like, Kirkman tapped into something that, you know, even the comic, right? Like, the comic, he said, like, maybe it'll last, like, 5 issues, right?
Right.
And it's
right.
Just, like, honestly, it's like this runaway hit that, like, on the sales charts, you know, almost gets up, like, there with, like, Marvel, and sometimes beats, like, Marvel and DC stuff. Like, what did he tap into? What deal with Satan did Robert Kirkman make? Like, honestly, because it's just, like, for a show like this that, you know, because, I mean, look, it defies all logic, right? Because one of the reasons that you know, you don't see a lot of, like, hard R stuff anymore is because the studios are afraid of it. They're like, no, people won't, you know, people don't want to go see that in the movie theater. People don't want to, you know, they don't want to be horrified, or they don't want anything too intense. You know, I mean, that's the big justification for not making rated R things in the movies is because they won't make enough money. So that's why you see, like, stuff like Die Hard being made like PG-13, right?
Right.
Into PG-13 movies. But this defies, like, all of that. Like, the success of this show is like, look at it. It's like, this is not like Sunday night family viewing. This is not like 60 Minutes. You know what I'm saying? This isn't like, gather the kids around, we're going to watch The Walking Dead. So, like, what happened? Like, it's really is like this unexplainable, like, its own thing, right?
Yeah, and that's what gets me about it. I mean, I read the comic because, number one, I'm a comic fan. Number two, I was, like I said, I wasn't into horror. And for me, it was kind of like, I guess, like a gateway drug. Now, I haven't gone into horror more.
Yeah.
But there was something sort of safe about it. And maybe that's because the guy has a family. But there was something, I don't know, there was just something so kind of down to earth about it. And honest about it, it's and you know, the whole backdrop of zombies and all that. I mean, that's the thing. They're sort of the minor character. And it's I don't know. I guess we should talk about that more. Actually, I'd love to just talk to other people and be like, well, what do you like about it?
I mean,
You know, because like
interesting.
I've been half-heartedly watching it, you know, and then there's those few episodes that stick out, like tonight, where it's like, okay, this has got my undivided attention.
Yeah.
But the comic is different than the show. I mean, I enjoyed the violence tonight. I was laughing. I mean, I usually do. But there was something tonight about like how ridiculous the violence was. I was like, man, I don't know. I mean,
they went all out.
It's got everything, I guess, that we like as Americans. You know, it's got talking and it's got violence. And
talking. Yeah. But don't you think that I feel that the TV show is much more successful in remembering that it's a show about zombies than the comic is at times?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, especially like, say, during the prison arc, I feel like they lost a lot of that focus where it's like, hey, there's still zombies out there. That's what I got onto this book for. And I think sometimes Kirkman, I think maybe he's kind of like in the last, you know, the last hardcover that I read, he kind of corrected himself a little bit. But, you know, honestly, like, I feel like the one great thing about the show is that it never forgot that it's a show about like surviving the zombie apocalypse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it could have been really easy to be like, hey, this is a show about like man versus man, you know what I mean? This is like,
right.
You know, the evil that men do. And, you know, sort of like Terminus did that, right? Terminus kind of addressed that a bit, but they still find a way to bring in the zombies, you know what I mean? And that's the crazy thing about Terminus, is that these people are sentient, they have reason, yet they've become like what they're trying to protect themselves against. They've become right. cannibals. They're zombies just as well. They just have reason, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I don't, it's strange. I guess on a certain level, I don't think about it so deeply. you just kind of, and that's maybe the appeal too. Again, it's like that professional wrestling thing. There's a good guy and a bad guy.
Yeah.
And we've grown the characters at this point. I mean, when Daryl hugged Carol.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, wow, you know, they really missed each other.
Oh my God. I almost got choked up watching that.
Really?
Stuff. Yeah. 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 Because you could see Daryl was like, you knew that she was like a huge part of his life. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is she like a mother figure to him?
Uh-huh.
Or are they going to get it on? Because at this point,
I'm not saying nothing wrong. It's a little bump and grind.
There's nothing wrong. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it would be really great for like a younger character to be involved with an older woman. You don't see that at all on TV. You know what I mean? And at this point, I'm like, come on, when are you guys just going to bump uglies? Let's just do it. Like, you know, come on.
Well, I definitely felt that way at the end. I thought they actually played that perfectly, because it's like, oh, he loves her. He misses her. He wants to do her. But then there was a nurturing thing there where she was just kind of making sure he was okay. And he missed her as a mom.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, now, you know, it's like, geez, now I'm conflicted. And then I'm like, well, how does Tyrese feel? Maybe Tyrese was thinking, I'll hit this now. You know,
I didn't feel that vibe coming.
No. Tyrese was just kind of, he's so funny. He just seems like, there's sometimes with the guys from The Wire where I'm just like, hey, I'm the guy from The Wire. how did I get here? But they're all great actors. And
was Tyrese on The Wire?
The actor who plays him,
was he really? Oh, I've never seen The Wire. I gotta watch it.
Oh, you do.
I know. Everyone keeps telling me, and I've just never gotten.
And
around
you know, I'm usually the last guy to be recommending stuff because I'm so behind. Like I said, I just started Mad Men.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and Wire's the kind of thing where I was able to just watch it like by myself. No one ever bothered me. It was the kind of thing where I might have still been single when I was watching it.
Really?
I can't remember. No, I think I was with Heidi, but maybe she was rehearsing a play at some point, and she did not want to watch it. So I watched it by myself.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly intoxicating.
That's what everyone says. I don't know. Like when it premiered, I remember it was like The Sopranos was still on. And I made a joke. I watched the first couple of episodes, and I used to make a joke. I used to be like, they call it The Wire because they have to poke you with one to keep you awake to watch the show. I thought, like, in the very beginning, it was very boring. But I've heard people say that you've got to get past, like, the first six episodes or something.
Well, that's the crazy bitch about exposition.
It's
And it's just there. Oh, by the way, this has to do with storytelling, but have you seen Gone Girl?
No, not yet. Don't tell me anything about it.
Oh, are you going to see it?
We want to see it, but as you know, we just moved into a new house.
Oh, right. And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, we should podcast about it after you've seen it.
Okay.
But, you know, exposition's a funny thing because it's just like there's no other way. Like you know, winter, spring, summer, fall. You're not going to change. Well, actually, some argue that the government has changed it with some weather device. But you know what I'm saying? Like the sky is blue, clouds are white. You know, you have to have exposition in there. So
sure.
But if you can get past those first few episodes of The Wire, it's like any other great show out there. You're going to, you know, it took me two or three shows with Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
When I was like,
no way. Breaking Bad, from like the first 10 minutes, I was like, I'm in. I was like,
yeah, Breaking Bad is pretty damn good at actually, I think, grabbing people sooner than later, and that that has a lot to do with I think a lot of other things, but we're done with that now. And I think all that tension, you know, to bring it full circle, all the tension of like the production company and who was directing and the new thing and all that's gone now. They're just like, hey, we've got a hit show.
Yeah.
Let's now keep writing this as long as we can. And I think at least this season and next season are going to be awesome.
Yeah. I have a really good feeling about the direction that it's going. Since last season, like I said, I feel like last season is when it finally decided kind of like what it wanted to be. And it kind of like stepped into like the deep end of the pool. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're going to be really grown up as opposed to kind of like flailing around and trying to make some of our characters like the moral compass of the show and other characters like whining and crying all the time. It seems like I feel like the show finally kind of grew its backbone. You know?
And I think too, you know, from acting and I do too, when we did it, when they're in a real physical location. Even if they're taking a break and they're going to Hawaii or they're going back home to rest, when they step back into that, it's easier for them to step back into it. And they're becoming one with the actual setting. And it's not like they're in a cush studio. They're outside sweating their nuts off.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think when you're physically challenged that way, there's a whole bunch of funny stories out there how I don't know if it was Cassavetes or certain directors, you know, if they did a scene in like a freezing like meat locker where the actors are freezing because, you know, if the actors put under some kind of physical challenge, their performance is always better.
Yeah. Oh,
and
sure.
And I think that's another thing that's happening too. It's just like everyone on there knows what they're doing, and it's got to be a great feeling as an actor to still be alive on that show. And to also know that you're having they're doing like a number one great thing that people are having a ball with. You know?
I know it must be such a great feeling. So let me ask you, and the fact that it's pretty quality. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the fact that it's grown from sort of like a so-so show to like it's become like, oh, wow, like this is like must see, like really good. It's not like some crappy sitcom like 2 1/2 Men that everyone's watching and like most people are like, what the fuck? What is that all about? You know,
I have 2 1/2 Men on my DVR. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry.
I'm just kidding. I know.
Okay, so to wrap this up, I think that the cast is getting pretty big.
Yes.
When they close this episode. So who do we think is going to get it at this point? Because I think they're going to start culling people off. I think people are going to start dying soon.
Oh, really?
Don't you?
Well, some people are going to
have... I feel like it's a zombie show, and I feel like the cast is getting bigger, and I feel like some people have got to go. You know,
some people do have to go. They could kill that girl who's kind of hanging out with them.
Which one? There's a couple.
The one who's just, I think she had like one line on today's show. She's got the short dark hair.
Oh, the girl that was with the governor.
Was she with the governor?
Yeah. The governor like escaped
and
brought them back.
Like when it was Governor Daddy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could see her going. That could.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't want to. You know, it's weird. I don't want to be like. I don't know. You never know. I honestly was thinking of that tonight. I'm like, you know, whenever they want to really just boost show ratings even more, all they got to do is next time on The Walking Dead, someone gets it. But
you don't want to do that, man, because that ruins the surprise, and people are like. You know, that's the great thing. Like this last episode was just such an amazing surprise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know who they're going to kill. I mean, I know, doesn't Tyrese die early on in the comic?
He does get it at some point, but I can't remember when. It's been a long time.
Yeah, because he was with Andrea for a while.
Yeah.
And... I don't know. I don't know who's going to go because, look, you've got Rick, you've got Carol, you've got Daryl, you've got, you know, Glenn and Matt. I mean, these are all prominent kind of characters, right?
Yep.
But hey, they just brought back Homeboy there, so maybe they'll just get rid of him.
Oh, like, man. I think, I don't know, I could see Glenn going. I feel like Glenn would just be huge because he does die in the comic, right?
He does die in a comic.
And he's like a fan favorite. And I could see them taking him out, which is too bad because I really like him. I like the actor that plays him. But I feel like Glenn, you know, they were kind of like telegraphing that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like where you thought like, oh man, he's going to get it. Like I was like, are they going to kill Glenn? And I think that maybe they're psyching the audience out by going, no, we're not going to do it here, but we're going to do it in an unexpected way. Like he's not going to die like he did in the book. We've already seen that, you know, like Rick's wife, you know, she died differently in the, but she did die. So maybe they will get, you know, get him. I don't know. But it'll suck when Glenn goes, if he goes, you know?
Yeah, he was there from the beginning, at least in the comic. I mean, that's what was so hard. He was so...
Yeah, that was one thing where I just like, I don't know if I can keep going, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay, man. Any last thoughts on this episode or...
Well, no, I'm glad you actually got in touch with me because I probably would not have watched it tonight. It's been very hectic and crazy.
Thank you for joining me because
that was my pleasure. Yeah,
this would have just been an hour of me rambling because everyone's either like got like health issues or, you know, personal issues. And I was like, well, nobody's watching The Walking Dead. And then I was like, wait a minute, Ian watches The Walking Dead.
Yeah, so I don't, like, you know, I'm just, if they can keep it rolling, I think it'll be great. I think I probably will resume sketching next week, just to get some sketching done.
Yeah.
But no, man, that's it. I think we did a good analyzing here.
Yes.
And
excellent job.
Looking forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. My name is Christian Horn, and I have been speaking with my good friend Ian Scheller, and hopefully we will be here again next week with another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy. Part-time. Part-time fanboy.